life, the ministry, and the experience of Jesus Christ, the example that he set, and finding out why it is that he taught exactly contrary to what the churches teach today. They call themselves Christian. They say they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they do preach a gospel about Christ, about his person. They exalt Christ, but they do not preach the things that he proclaimed and that he taught. And they do not follow the customs of which he set them an example. Why? Now, we've found that Jesus went everywhere preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Not very many people today know what the kingdom of God is. Some people use the word kingdom of God. Some people use the word kingdom, but they aren't preaching the kingdom that Jesus preached. He was preaching a kingdom that was not of this world. They preach something that's altogether of this world today. But along with it, Jesus was healing the sick. Here in the 8th chapter of Luke, in the 9th chapter of Matthew, where we find the same thing along parallel, both of them speaking of the same mission or the same experience of Christ at this time. And a man named Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, had come to him because his 12-year-old daughter was very ill. And as Jesus was going to this man's house to heal the daughter of her sickness, the woman who had had a trouble for 12 years and had spent all that she had on the physicians. She hadn't been helped. She had grown rather worse. She had spent all that she had. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She was healed instantly because she had faith. She really believed. Christ said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Jesus required their faith. He didn't say, "My faith has made you whole." But, daughter, thy faith hath made you whole. Well, you will remember then that messengers came and told this man that his daughter was dead, and why trouble Christ? He delayed getting there, and they said the daughter was dead. Jesus said, "She's not dead, she's only sleeping." But when he came to the house, they were wailing, and they were crying. Jesus rebuked them for it, and then they sneered and jeered at him. And he put them out because he couldn't have unbelievers in the room while he healed the sick. How different that example is from the kind of healing meetings we have today. Now, most churches today don't believe in healing at all. They say that's all past. And yet, God has healed the sick ever since he's had people on this earth. God healed people way back in ancient Israel in the days of Moses. And he had continually healed them back in the days of Moses. Now, I could take the time, but I'm not going to take it now, to go through the passages of the Old Testament in Kings and Chronicles and show you how God did heal the kings and the people in Israel all down through that time. And one king that did not turn to God, did not rely on God, but relied on the human physicians, died because, as God said, it's because you haven't got a God in Israel. Well, he went to the god of medicine that was over in an adjoining nation, but the way they did, they believed that their god would heal people through human means. They believed that their god had raised up medical science and would heal through the doctors their drugs and medicines. And God said that was idolatry, and this king had to die because of his sin in trusting in that sort of thing. Now, believe it or not, my friends, that's in your Bible. And then David in the Psalms wrote about healing, and among other things, he said that we should bless the Lord and praise God. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases," and that God heals diseases just as much as he forgives our sins. Well, Jesus paid the price of forgiving our sins by giving his blood, his life, and the blood of his life. And he shed his blood in the blood of Christ. Well, it paid the penalty for your sins and mine. Therefore, we can be released from paying the penalty. Now, when you're sick, you're merely paying a physical penalty of transgressed physical laws within your body. And whether you did it and did something wrong, or whether it was an accident, or whether it was hereditary, or whether it was a disease germ, or what, the laws of nature, as we say, or of your physical body have been broken, and your sickness is merely pain, the suffering, the penalty that you were paying because those laws have been broken. Now, my friends, Jesus himself took our infirmities. He bare our sicknesses, so he said. And he was only quoting from the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah was inspired to write that. And the New Testament church is founded on the very foundation of the prophets, as well as the apostles, and Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. Now, Isaiah is one of those prophets, and the New Testament church is founded on the apostles. You know, I heard a minister saying, I don't know whether it was on a coast-to-coast broadcast or not. It may have been a local station. I don't know. I just happened to catch a part of it, apparently. And I heard a minister saying, however, on that program, that if you wanted about the Old and the New Testament, he was explaining the Bible and that it's divided into the two parts, and one we call the Old Testament and the other the New. He explained that the word Testament means covenant. And he said, now, if you want to know the way of salvation, you wouldn't look in the Old Testament. You'd never find it there. You know, I am astonished, my friends, that people like that can come out and call themselves the ministers of Jesus Christ in such colossal ignorance. You know how the apostles that Jesus sent out preaching the true way of salvation, you know how they preached it. They preached it out of the scriptures, and the only scriptures they had at that time was the Old Testament. And they preached the way of salvation solely out of the Old Testament. Today you'd say it couldn't be done. Why did you ever read in the book of Acts of how Philip was sent over to the Ethiopian eunuch and he was reading an Old Testament book, Isaiah, about Christ and about the crucifixion of Christ? And he said, who is this and who does he speak about? And beginning at that scripture, Philip preached unto him Jesus, and the man was converted and baptized. And then upstart preachers that honestly they don't know... they don't know as much as the bird I was talking about that had a bird brain when it comes to the Bible and to real knowledge, and set themselves up as Bible teachers. You remember that Paul, in his letter to Timothy, was telling Timothy how he could find the way of salvation. Did you ever read that? Let me just turn to it real quickly. I hadn't thought of this. I hadn't intended to, but I'll turn to it here in just a second. And I want to read that to you. Where Paul, in his letter to Timothy, said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, what Holy Scriptures had Timothy known from a child? The only Scriptures that had been written at the time Timothy was a child was the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't gathered together as Scripture for some time later. They were letters that Paul wrote in the epistles of of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the letters of John, and of James, and of Peter, and so on. And part of it, the book of Revelation, for instance, and most of John's writings were not written until along in the 90s A.D. And this was written a long time before that, and he's talking about the scriptures that Timothy had known from a child. Now, that was the Old Testament, from a child. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And then a minister stands up and says to people out over the air that you can't do that. Well, the Apostle Paul doesn't agree with him, and he says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's about time we realize that the whole Bible is the whole Word of God. In the Old Testament, just the same as the New. My friends, you can't even find what you're going to inherit through Christ and what the promises of salvation to the Christian are unless you can turn back beginning at the 12th chapter of Genesis and find what God promised to Abraham. Yes, they certainly have lost the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're living in an age of confusion. And let me tell you, my friends, don't believe everything you hear. I'm just too busy to listen to everyone preaching on the air, and sometimes I don't realize how many there are that are preaching. They aren't preaching the gospel, all of them, but they claim to, and they're preaching on the air. Now listen. Sometimes you have no way of knowing who is right and who is wrong, but I'll tell you how to find out. Do like the Bereans did when the Apostle Paul came along. They'd heard a lot of false preachers then too, because they had a lot of them then. I don't believe as many as we have today, but they had a lot of them. and Paul came along, they didn't know whether he was one that had the truth. And so far as that's concerned, a lot of you, if you haven't listened a long time and followed this example that I'm going to show you, perhaps won't know whether I'm one of the true ones or one of the false ones. And there are plenty of the false, and I'll tell you that there are about 999 false to everyone that's true, if you can only believe it. And if you'll read your Bible, you'll find that's what's prophesied. That's pretty hard to believe. That was the struggle I had in the beginning. I couldn't believe that all these religious people would be wrong. And I had to find out how wrong humanity can be and how far we have strayed from God and how far we've strayed from the Bible. That was a pretty bitter pill for me. It was a very hard lesson for me to learn. And I finally learned it. But the thing to do is do like the Bereans did when Paul came to Berea. They listened without prejudice. And I will say, listen to everybody without prejudice. Even these fellows that are wrong. Get your prejudice up and don't get your fur, stirred up the wrong way. Or rubbed the wrong way. Maybe they'll rub it the wrong way, but just keep your anger down and keep your mind open and also keep your Bible open and your heart to God. And then study your Bible on your knees and do like the Bereans did. They listened to Paul and they didn't have prejudice. They listened without prejudice and then they searched the Scriptures daily whether these things be so. If I speak to you exactly what your Bible says in plain language without twisting it, without distorting it, without wresting it, without trying to interpret it, then you can believe it because it's exactly what the Bible says. In other words, my friends, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't believe me. Don't believe any other preacher. Believe God. But listen to the preachers and then search the Scriptures and see whether they're leading you in the right place or not. Now, you're going to get salvation if you get it through the Word of God, and you have to be born again through and by the Word of God. I wonder if you realize that. That's what God has given us. God has said, or Jesus said, we must live by every word of God. It's something for you to live by. How can you do it if you don't know what it says? How can you do it if you don't understand it, if you don't ever study it? I'll tell you the trouble with us today. It's why we have so much sickness and disease, why we have so many fears and worries, why our lives are so empty, and why we're so worried and everything else. We're too far from God, and we're far from God because we don't spend enough time in prayer and we don't spend enough time studying the Bible. We're just willing to believe anything that comes along. And I want to tell you, my friends, plenty of things are coming along. And I couldn't be honest if I tried to tell you now, just follow me, that I'm the only one that's right and everybody else is wrong. I say, you read your Bible, you be the judge of who's right. But I want to tell you, there aren't very many of them that are right. Most churches don't even believe in healing today. And the few that do, it seems that a good many of them put on a public show about it, and they invite everybody to come in and with unbelievers as well as believers, and how do they know what a mixture they have or who's a believer and who isn't? And then they claim to pray for and anoint the sick right there in a parade and in a show in front of everybody. My friends, Jesus Christ didn't do it that way. Jesus Christ put the unbelievers out of the room before he prayed. He had people of faith there because a lack of faith will destroy it every time. And if even the Savior himself, Jesus Christ, couldn't heal the sick until he put the unbelievers out, and if he couldn't heal those that did not believe, and I'm going to show you that he couldn't, then how can men today do any better? It's about time we began to learn just exactly what the Bible says about this thing. Now here in verse 40, Mark the 5th chapter, in verse 40, Jesus, having put them all forth, these people that were wailing and weeping so, and that had laughed him to scorn when he told them not to do it, and that the woman was only sleeping and not dead, or the girl rather, he, having put them all forth, he took the father of the child and her mother and those that were with him, and before it had explained that was just some of his own disciples that certainly believed, and he went in where the child was, he took her by the hand and had her rise, and she was well and healed. Now, then a little later, two blind men followed Jesus, and they cried out and said, have mercy on us. Jesus went right on into the house. He didn't turn around and heal these men. He tested their faith, and he had to know they had the faith before he healed them. He went on into the house, but the blind men followed him. They were persistent. They did have faith, and Jesus then said, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." They had the faith, they were healed, they received their sight. Now, if a blind man would come around to me and say, "Now, Brother Armstrong, you've got to have a lot of faith. I want you to heal me. I'm going to get good and mad at you if you don't." And then if he isn't healed right away, he becomes enraged at me and says, "I didn't have faith to heal him." Well, you know, if this blind man had come to Jesus that way, he would not have received his sight, either one of these two men. But Jesus said, "Do you really believe that I am able to do this?" Now, a lot of people say, "Well, I know he's able, but I don't know whether he will." And in another case, a man came to Jesus and said, "I know that you can heal me if you will." He wanted to know his will. Jesus told him his will. He said, "I will. Be thou healed." We passed that some days back in this program. "Now, according to your faith get done," and their eyes were opened. All right, now let's go on. I want to show you something. In the 6th chapter of Mark now, and the 1st verse. "Now Jesus went out from there, and he cometh into his own country." Now he came to his own country and his own city, even in Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Now he's coming to his own hometown, where he had been brought up, and the people had seen him grow up from a little boy. "And his disciples followed him, and when the Sabbath come, he began to teach in the synagogue." Now looking to the example that Jesus set, here's another example. We've seen it repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly in this program. When the Sabbath day came, Jesus entered into the synagogue, always. Now, when the first day of the week came, you can't find one place where Jesus ever went into any synagogue or had any church service. Jesus Christ set us an example that we should follow his steps. People have certainly gotten a long ways off from God and from the truth and from Jesus today. "Now many hearing him were astonished, saying, Whence hath this man these things?" Or, as it is in Matthew's account, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" These mighty works, or powers, as it is otherwise translated. And now back in Matthew, or Mark's account rather, in the 2nd and 3rd verses, "What is the wisdom that is given unto this man? And what mean such mighty works or powers wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" In other words, why, we've seen him out here as a carpenter building houses. And I want you to notice along the way that while Jesus grew up and before he entered his ministry, he was earning his living. He didn't idle away his time. He didn't live in ease and luxury and in idleness. Now, he did have some good things. He wasn't altogether poor. He was poor in one way, but he did have good things. Some of them were given to him, but he had them. But nevertheless, when he worked, my friends, he worked at something that was constructive. He builded. He was a carpenter. I wonder if you can realize that God is creator, and creating is building, making, constructing, creating. Now, of course, there's a difference, actually and technically, between making and creating. Creating is really bringing into existence and from nothing. No man can do that, but God has given us, in a sense, some creative powers in that we can at least plan and design and construct and make. But did you ever notice that human beings get a lot more joy, somehow or other, out of tearing down than they do out of building up? Now, God is creator, and he set us here to become like him. We are to enter into the family of God if we are ever really converted. We're to leave the human family, the animal kingdom, and get into and be born into the God kingdom. Very few people seem to realize that or know why we were put here on the earth. Well, if you have an ear to hear, my friends, you'd better hear. Because you haven't heard these truths very much in this day and age. They haven't been heard very much since the days of the apostles. Why these truths have been buried? I don't altogether understand, except it is the way of humanity. And God has let humanity have its own way. He's given humanity a lot of rope, and humanity is just about to commit suicide. If God was not going to step in the very near future and intervene. Well, anyway, Jesus now, here he is in his own home city. These people knew him, and I just wanted you to notice, though, that his work was constructive. It was an honorable occupation. And so being a carpenter and building is one of the very honorable occupations, I would say. Farming is a very honorable occupation. It's an honorable thing. Making things, or even working in a factory if it's useful. Those are honorable occupations. There are others, but I just mentioned those as some. Now, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, or are not his sisters here with us? They were offended in him, or he was a stumbling block to them. Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Oh, my friends, I used to hear an expression years ago, far away pastures look greener. I wonder if you ever heard that. The far away pastures look greener. The pasture right at hand never seems to be very good. You know, I knew of a man one time, he was so miserable and so unhappy, he just said, if I could be in some other place, I would be happy. And he'd want to go to one town or one city or one state. And if he could only be there and live there, he'd be happy. When he got there, it was the most miserable, rotten old hellhole on earth. That was the expression he used. And he was so unhappy, now he wanted to go to some other place. He'd go there, and he was still just as miserable as ever. And now it was the most terrible place on earth. He had been in Iowa. He wanted to go to Idaho. When he got there, it was a terrible place. He got back to Iowa. Then he wanted to go back to Illinois, and he got to Illinois, and it was worse yet. He was never happy wherever he was. He never could see that unhappiness was inside of himself and not in a geographical location. So far away pastures always look greener and look more pleasant. And why is it, my friends, that a prophet looks like he looks like a real prophet to people if he comes from way off? If a man is a famous scientist and he comes over here from some foreign land, way, way off someplace, and he's supposed to be a doctor or a scientist, oh, you think he must be a great man. But if he's in your own hometown, you think he couldn't amount to anything. Well, sometimes the greatest are right there and near at hand, and the biggest opportunities are right at hand if you could only see them. Well, they thought Jesus couldn't amount to anything. Who could he be? He was a local lad. And he could there do no mighty works. He was Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. But he was not able to do any mighty works. He couldn't do these powerful things. He didn't have the power of God. Why? Because of their unbelief. Even Jesus was unable in that kind of company. Now, I showed you a while ago, he had to put the doubters and the unbelievers out of the room before he either healed this woman or raised her from the dead. Take your choice. The people said she was dead. Jesus said she was only sleeping. Maybe it was both. He could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And only a few were healed, and many were not. I've told you, my friends, thousands of people come to me or write to me for healing. And when I can't go to so many because I haven't enough time for one man to go to so many people, it isn't possible. And my time is so filled, I have to do as the Apostle Paul did, as you find recorded in the 19th chapter of Acts, and pray over pieces of cloth, anoint them, and lay my hands on them, and send those out to the people just as the Apostle Paul did. And God honors it. And by that method, a man born blind from birth received his sight. A number of people with cancer have been healed. A woman with a withered arm, her arm grew out normal and natural. And her doubting husband confessed it to two of our young men from our college here when they visited the place back in the Middle West. Even though he was still, apparently, a scoffer and a doubter, as I remembered, I'm not sure about that. But anyhow, incurable diseases and everything. And God has healed them because He is the same God today. And He has the same power today that He did then. But on the other hand, as I've told you, there have been other hundreds and hundreds that have not been healed, I suppose. I don't hear from a lot of them. A lot of them never let us know whether they are or whether they're not. But they begin to doubt. And if you want to know why some are and some are not, it's the same today as it was in the days of Jesus. Now, I merely represent Him. I'm merely one that He has called. I'm merely an instrument that He uses. I can't heal anybody, but Jesus Christ can. And it's all done through faith, and He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And again, remember that scripture I quoted, I think, yesterday. Whatsoever we ask of Him, we receive. Why? Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Obedience and faith. Those are the twin conditions. Surrender to obey God, and then believe Him and trust Him. He could there do no mighty work, say that He laid hands on a few sick folks and healed them, and He marveled because of their unbelief. Why couldn't He do very many works there? Why was it He could only heal just a few? Even Christ Himself, because of their unbelief. And my friends, I know that there perhaps are a few hundred of you listening who have written in for anointed claws, and I've sent them, and you have not been healed, and I hope that you're learning now why. Why don't you write in for our booklet on what is faith and learn why you have not had the faith? And perhaps you don't understand well enough, and to understand better, you better get our booklet on healing. I mentioned this in the preceding program. Now, a lot of you intended to write for it. You didn't do it then. Don't put it off again now. Do it now. Get that pen and that paper and write it now. Don't let another thing interfere, and write it immediately. The booklet on what is faith, the booklet on healing, there's no charge. So until tomorrow, goodbye, friends.